arch the shoulders.
What's the point? They can't see it.
That's true, but
you don't think you're biased?
Oh, of course I am. I'm like the best dancer in this household. Okay.
What a leap.
Apollo disagreed.
What a leap you just took.
I did. Anyway.
Not really. It wasn't a leap at all. Saying you're better dancing than me.
That was a controversial topic. That's not a leap
whatsoever.
Welcome back to the Mind of Monty podcast with your co-host, your boy Monty G, and I, Mo. That banter at the beginning was cute, but we all know I'm the best dancer in this house. Like
I just said, I'm agreeing. I'm just saying you're not saying
that
much.
That wasn't necessarily for you. That
I don't even dance.
That was for Apollo because he's storming out of the room.
Yeah, he doesn't dance either. I don't know why he's offended. Honestly, this is another week where I'm going to come down and just basically mention things that happened in this past week of wrestling that interest me. These are not full show reviews. I want to make sure I clarify that because I've had people come, you know, reaching out and wanted maybe a little bit more of a thorough breakdown. But I was literally last week, I was giving y'all 3 weeks of a breakdown, and I was trying my best not to go too deep. If you really like those full show breakdowns, I understand it, and they will be returning, but mostly for pay-per-views, not ever for weekly shows. I will never full show weekly review all of the crap that goes on a weekly basis in wrestling. It is just too much. We have wrestling on television every day except one. So, and even on that day, it's wrestling. I just don't watch it. And it's no offense to Impact. It's just I don't have access TV, so I don't watch it. And, you know, YouTube, sometimes I check some clips every now and then. So, but either way it go. That's pretty much my only day where I'm not watching something. And even then, NXT UK is on that day.
Yeah.
So it's literally not nothing. It's not a day where nothing is on television. Like, literally, for example, you have 3 shows on Friday night. Since when in wrestling do you ever get 3 shows on Friday night? Which means it's people watching 205 Live. It's people watching Rampage and, of course, SmackDown. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's one night a week every week, though.
Yes.
And that's 3 hours of wrestling to kind of match up with that big 3 hours of wrestling that you got to kind of get through on Mondays.
Oh, my God.
And then you have 2 more on Tuesday, 2 more on Wednesday. If you watch Impact and you watch NXT UK, that's 3 again on Thursday. And then you have another 3 Friday. Do you see my point, guys? That is why you're not getting full-fledged show reviews. And let's just be honest, most of these shows, especially Raw and a couple of them, you know, it's just a lot of nothing going on in between the important stuff. And I'm here to talk about the things that seemed important to me or the things I'm just wondering while I'm watching these shows. So that is a clear clarification on what goes on or what goes into these reviews or what am I doing when I'm talking about stuff. Same thing with New Japan. I didn't even mention. I just mentioned all that stuff and didn't even mention New Japan.
I was about to say.
And we got to do a New Japan. We have a section on New Japan today. So, there you go. It's really a lot going on. And, you know, it's an exciting time as a wrestling fan. But as someone who has to create content out of this stuff, you're really out of your mind if you think I can just break down every segment of every show, and you think I want to break down and watch every segment of every show. That's not how it works. It's enough wrestling to go around, and it's a lot of quality wrestling, but yeah, not going to be covering the segments that do nothing for me, honestly. I won't be covering them. It's just simple as that.
Yeah, and just to give you an example, I guess, of what we're kind of talking about there, Friday there was a Happy Corbin, Madcap, whatever his name is. They had a segment with Drew, and it was god-awful. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to talk about it.
So why would I spend my time telling you what you already know?
Exactly.
And that it was bad. So that's what I mean. And you know, not always. Some things are so some things will offend me. They're so bad, and they will become a topic. But, you know, for the most part, if it's not that interesting to me, I just won't even really acknowledge it. And, you know, speaking of acknowledgement, I want to acknowledge the year that one of the wrestlers that's in my candidates for best wrestler of the year, Bobby Lashley has had. And to kind of go into that, what are we talking about first, Mo?
You could have just started the segment, but all right. So
could have, but you want, this is your job.
It is, but when you go ahead and take my
it was a segue. You don't get to be the only one to segue or transition around here.
I'm so good at segueing.
Even if you are, I reserve the right on the Mind of Monty podcast to segue also.
Line crossed. Anyway, speaking of.
You don't have a gimmick.
Speaking of Roberto Bobby Lashley, I do have a gimmick. He has triumphantly forced himself into the day one title match.
I wouldn't even say he forced himself. They pretty much gave him the opportunity on a platter. I mean, they tried to make it seem like they didn't want it to happen, but as the night continued, they made it also easier for it to happen. It was really confusing, the booking here. The booking here, especially from the authority figures, because they came out and they were like, well, no, Bobby, you're going to have an insurmountable task, right, to get in this match. You're going to have to beat three guys in one night. The three people that you're going to have to face at day one, you have to beat them all by yourself in one night. That sounds like something that you wouldn't want to overcome. And by the way, Bobby Lashley is still a heel during all this. Why the hell y'all giving him this trial as if he was a babyface?
He is not a heel.
You know, but anyway, that's besides the fact.
But then they served it on the platter by saying, no, you're not going to weasel your way out of this.
So when Kevin and Seth actually, you know, use their brains and be like, no, we can just get him disqualified. You know, at first it didn't make sense because Kevin just gave up easily. It's like, why would you win? Why would you let him get a win? Like, anything other than that option. But then, okay, so maybe they got another plan. So his plan was to help Seth, right? And that worked out. Seems smart enough. Then authority comes out, and they're like, no, that's not acceptable. We're not doing that here. And that's insane to me.
Yeah, like,
Why would you give him the task of beating all three guys if you're just going to make it easier in the first place?
And they're heel authority figures.
So, again, confused on what's going on and who am I supposed to, other than Big E, who the hell am I supposed to be rooting for here? Of course, I'm always rooting for Bobby, so of course I wanted him in the match. I don't like him beating everybody he faces at the pay-per-view, though, because I just think that's kind of crazy. But it was all cheap enough to where I could give them a pass, you know? The MVP thing was a cheap victory over Big E. The Seth Rollins thing was like, you know, again, even Seth was like, what the hell are you doing, authority figures? I thought y'all you know, wanted it just to be a triple threat. By the way, Seth Rollins is actually the babyface in this situation almost.
Yeah.
He literally earned this title shot. It was one-on-one in the beginning. And now everybody can just jump in because they're championship material or whatever. Like,
no.
Think about it. He won a Fatal 4-Way, I think, wasn't it, to get this shot?
I think it was a ladder match.
Yeah, but wasn't it like four guys? Or was it three? It doesn't even matter. Either way it go, yeah, you're right. It was a ladder match indeed. But I'm trying to figure out, was it four people in it just like this? I think it was because it was Kevin Finn and someone else. And I don't think it was Bobby.
It was Jeff.
It probably was Jeff Hardy or someone else like that. Either way it go, or maybe not. It was like on Raw. It's somebody who's on Raw now because it was like the first night after the draft type of thing. And it's like they're four new draft picks or new main event.
Rey Mysterio, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins.
So it was Rey we was missing.
Yeah.
So that's what I was talking about. So he literally earned his shot in that Fatal 4-Way just so he can end up having another Fatal 4-Way.
Yep. Ain't that something?
So yeah, he's totally screwed here. No matter how much you like him. I know we're not supposed to care about him, but it's just like recently with Sami Zayn. It's like, how the hell am I not supposed to feel sorry for this guy that I know y'all want me to hate? Because I felt sorry for Sami Zayn after he got screwed out of his title shot. I feel sorry for Seth now going into this situation. But the match, the Fatal 4-Way that we're going to get should be good stuff. And now the marketing makes sense. You know, they were marketing in March that they would have a rematch of this Fatal 4-Way at a live event or whatever. Mm-hmm. So now it makes a lot of sense. That'll lead into something else we'll talk about actually later, but now what's next? What are we talking about now? Because I think that's pretty much it. The only thing I want to say is I'm going to love the Fatal 4-Way. How we got here, you know, whatever. But Bobby Lashley still being in the world title picture, I told you when they took the belt off him, as long as Bobby Lashley does not suffer and fall out of the main event, I'm cool. And they immediately introduces him right back to the main event. I'm cool with that. Don't necessarily like how they did it, but you know, you kind of got to take the positive with the bad with Raw, you know?
Yeah. Raw was just a confusing night. We saw Finn Balor team up with Damian Priest.
Yeah.
And then Austin Theory came out.
And yeah, it was
a mess.
His involvement. And it wasn't bad. The segment itself and the match, all of that, it wasn't bad. It's just the overall involvement of Finn in it. Like I just mentioned, also in that Fatal 4-Way. And now after he lost, he just an afterthought to the world title.
Exactly.
So he's immediately teamed up with Priest. And I'm like, or whatever he's doing with Priest, or now he may be just leading to something with Theory. You know, Finn is definitely more than just a mid-card guy. I think we already know that, right? I thought we already knew this. Part of me wouldn't mind seeing him do something, like maybe turn on Priest and they have a legit feud over the title. But then again, I kind of want Priest to continue to build up, you know, his name with the belt. And, you know, so I don't necessarily think that has to happen. I'm just worried that WWE will do this again and waste Finn Balor. Like, he's already older than he looks. So I don't know how much – I'm not saying he's ever hinted at wanting to stop, but how much longer can you have this guy and look at him and be like, ah, this is the future? At right. some point, he's going to have to be part of the now or part of the, you know, what's next. And, yeah, I didn't think he was going to beat Roman, and I'm not saying he needs to come beat Big E or I think he's a champion right now or anything like that. I'm just saying that I don't want to see this guy out here just having a – just trot it out here to go have a good match because we know he can do it. Just go smile and drop a coup de grace every now and then, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the problem with Finn in his original main roster run. He wouldn't have needed to go back to NXT if they presented him well from the beginning. And also, they don't let him talk anymore again. In NXT, the reason why he leaned in and he worked so well in that character, his run here in the black and gold as their champion, he talked almost all the time. Didn't say a lot, but he always, you know, was witty and he threatened people. And I don't know if they hate his accent or whatever it is, but it's like, Finn is not allowed to talk again. And I know it's been a long time in the Raw run. So I'm trying to give them a chance. And I just think he should be on the same level as everybody I was just talking about in the 4-Way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they had him on the same level.
Exactly.
So it doesn't make sense that.
That means someone backstage see it too, that he belongs. Someone knows it. But I just don't understand why it seems like it's in some way, especially since his return to NXT, they've kind of tried to handicap him, immediately make him going back to the Demon, even though part of his character in NXT was going away from the Demon. It was all about leaving that behind, and they immediately make him go back to it when he comes to the main roster. It's like they don't have anything creative for him, so they're just like, just go out there and be Finn Balor.
Yep. just same old, same old.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I think he's so good. I don't want to see him get wasted. Now again, they have options. They can put him with Finn. They can put him with, you know, they can put him with Kevin. I'm pretty sure you have a great match with Kevin. They can even put him with, like I said, with Priest at 4Mania. You have spots that you can put Finn. And I'm not gonna lie, like in a few months, I wouldn't be completely singing a different tune. But as of right now, so far, based on what they've done since the draft with Finn Balor, I'm a little worried.
Yeah,
that's it.
And, you know, no one wants to go back down that road.
No. He's too talented for that.
Speaking of going back down the road that is WWE and talented individuals, Kevin Owens re-signed with the company for a multi-year deal.
I mean, I guess I should do that.
I'm going to say, like, terrible producing today, my guy.
It's always terrible producing. I've been a bad producer for a long time at this point. I don't know how you deal with me. And I don't edit out my bad producing. I don't even add like a second so it can be more on time. I don't even do that. I just let that bad producing stick.
And
shame.
And then we acknowledge it. So Kevin Owens resigned.
Exactly. Unlike WWE, when things go wrong, we acknowledge it. You know, no offense there. I get it. You know, don't call attention to the mistake if you don't have to. But I acknowledge them all. I'm very, very happy. Very, very happy. Not just because Kevin is back with WWE, and I know a lot of people think I'm a mark with WWE, so whatever. If you think that's why I'm happy, cool. But I'm happy for him just because I kind of called this immediately when I saw all those headlines a few months ago about all the cryptic things Kevin is doing with the Young Bucks, letting everyone know that he's going to AEW. And I was, as soon as I read everything that was supposed to be going on, I immediately turned to you and what I said, I hope he stays just in spite of all of these rumors.
Yep.
Just because everyone claimed to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. We got all these insiders.
Oh, they so cryptic. It was just like so much work. Oh, look at the Mount Rushmore coordinates. He did that on purpose. If he did do it on purpose, he did it for leverage. It's the same thing Randy Orton was doing when he made it seem like he was going to AEW. No way Randy Orton was leaving. But I get a little bit more, you know, I get a little bit more on my back.
Gotta know how to work the system.
And Randy ain't worried about budget cuts for him. No. I'm good. Randy's good. You gotta worry. Randy ain't gotta worry about it. If they cut Randy, then we know they selling. They cut somebody like Randy. Somebody like if people like that was getting released, then we'd really be worried. Like that's when I wouldn't hear people. When I'd be hearing people like, "Yeah, Vince is getting rid of the company." So you that sure when people like Roman and Sasha, Charlotte, all these people are still on the contract and fine? You that sure that they just want to get rid of everything now?
Exactly.
No. When those names start to fall, people like Randy and some of these established names fall off and stop getting paid, then I will buy it that something is going on. But anyway, that's besides the point. It's not about Randy. The point I was making is that I just like all the dirt sheets. This is just living proof once again that everything you read on the internet is not true. Okay? And even if it is, even if everything looked for like that picture when he looked. He was looking like when they just assumed, oh, look at how depressed Kevin is in WWE. What's the first thing Kevin said? Kevin said this is his home. He loves WWE. He's been there for 7 years, and it's just more like, you know, it's just like I have a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. It's literally the opposite of everything that everyone was trying to body language there. Like, oh, yeah, I can say something. You can just, oh, man, you can just hear the people in the comments. You can't you just see his body language? Look at all these body language experts that popped up on the internet. Yeah, just look at his body language. Right. Kevin don't care. He wearing a Bloodline shirt at a live event. It's a live event. Everybody have fun at the fucking live events. Like, what are y'all talking about?
Awesome.
Like, oh, my God. They was latching on to every little thing. Yeah, Kevin just don't care. Kevin don't care. He in the main event program fighting for the WWE title. And y'all just going to say he don't care? He's unused or under... Man, shut up. He was underutilized all of a sudden, too, by the way. Come on, man.
Yeah, you know...
Kevin jumped off a boat during the pandemic for us. Go ahead.
Everybody... He did. Everybody had their two cents about that situation. And just, again, happy to see that everybody involved in the situation is happy.
Yeah, and like you said, it was best for his family. And I know what happened in my brain when I saw he said it was what's best for his family. Ching, ching, get your paper. But like at the end of the day, it's what's best for him. He got a sense of belonging. Everybody got to stop pushing people out of the door in WWE and assuming everybody hate him just because of all the negative press and all the releases, everything that you feel. Just don't quit projecting your emotions on other people. Okay?
Yes.
That man go there every day. He know in and out. He know what it is. So... just trust that these wrestlers are doing what's best for them.
Right.
Whether they leave or stay, just trust that they're doing what's best for them.
Speaking of what's best for the wrestler, Roman Reigns decides to let go of Paul Heyman on Friday Night SmackDown. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, shifting our attention away from, you know, the Monday show. Most of, you know, it was other exciting things, you know, the little things that happened, like, you know, the beginning match with Sasha and Tony. I thought that was a great way to start the show. With Shotzi and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I thought that was beautiful. Good, strong match. And everyone loves Sasha. Sasha, I don't know if they're leading. I don't know if it's going to be Charlotte and Sasha or Bayley going to return or whatever. But either way it go, I can see Sasha having a pretty stacked deck when it comes to Mania. She's probably going to have a big match. Can't wait to see. She's just hella over, and everybody wants Charlotte to fall. So whether it's to Sasha or whether it's a new, you know, a Tony Storm or something like that, everybody, you know, it, trust me, the fans are ready for it. But Roman Reigns being down with Paul Heyman is pretty much the biggest takeaway I had. Everything else just kind of just kept going on. You know, Madcap Moss, like you mentioned, and old dude Happy Corbin, who needs to go back to being bum-ass Baron Corbin. Yeah, they've been bad for weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty normal. unfortunately, the Intercontinental Championship did not get defended. I honestly am going to have to start a drinking game. For like literally, I'll just go take a shot every week that Shinsuke does nothing. Or every week that Shinsuke does not defend the title. Yeah, he Lord, did. Don't get me started. He literally is just back here. What was he doing?
All hail king.
All hail the king. He's bowing down to another king. No. Of course, I don't mind him doing that. But like, dude, you're the Intercontinental Champion. Come on, man. Just and then look at the extras behind him. None of them want the belt. Nobody wants the title. Boogs don't even want the belt. No one wants the belt.
You know who gets more competition or who did before Dana Brooks won it, but the 24/7 championship.
They get way more. They get more defenses.
Exactly. Than the.
The hell.
The Intercontinental.
That belt's supposed to be so important. But anyway, Roman dropping Paul, like, again. Most important thing. Yeah, again, I'm going down the show list, but I just want to make sure I let everybody know what I felt about Naomi stuff. Been going on forever. Nothing changed. Girl, it's just another week of getting screwed.
Slap her.
Without an explanation. Right. And we know why she can't, but we don't know why Sonya hates Naomi. Can you explain that? That is pretty vital. It's just like when it's just like when Roman came back and they was doing the who killed Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Or who tried to kill Roman Reigns storyline. And they left. They literally gave us no indication to why Buddy Murphy or whoever it was that
Eric.
Ended up.
It was Eric.
What the hell was his reasoning? Did they ever clarify that?
No.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. I know who got unveiled, but that's what I'm saying. I just remember Buddy Murphy having something to do with it.
Spider told him to do it.
And that's my point. We had to fill in that blank. Even if it was a blank, that's a horrible explanation. But what I'm trying to say is that is vital. That storyline pissed a lot of people off because we had no clue the reasoning for it. And that's the same thing with this Sonya Deville and Naomi. Why? What is the reason? Like I told you, just swap out Naomi for Mandy Rose and I'll be like, this is perfect because we understand why she is being a piece of shit to Mandy Rose. I don't know why she's doing this to Naomi other than the fact that 1 week Vince decided Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, I want you guys to be assholes. That's pretty much it. That's the only other clarification we have.
Like, just outrageous.
We're just going to be randomly heels out of nowhere.
Because Sonya's been heel. She's been helping.
Yeah, she's been teasing. Right. Yeah, from the beginning.
The
Dirty Dog stuff. I mean, she was biased. Again, her history ain't helping me not make this a racial thing.
She was biased against the Street Profits.
She was wrong. She did the Street Profits wrong for weeks. And not, again, no explanation for that. But at least at the time, we was like, her relationship with Dolph from back in the Mandy Rose stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, at least that makes some sense. This makes none. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But again, very, very great moment. The last 10 minutes of SmackDown was beautiful. But do you know why it was? It's because Roman and them was involved. Jay and Jimmy's reaction to everything Roman do, also highlight of my nights whenever it happens. If you see what I'm trying to say.
Yes, because they're petty.
They are very petty. They're hilarious. I love how he basically was like, you know what? I hate when my cousins lose. But we family. They can lose. You know what I'm saying? They can do that.
They can disappoint me.
They can come back from that because they family. They can disappoint Roman. You ain't my family. Once he said that, I already knew what was going on. But it was still just beautifully presented. And everything Roman has done has just been beautifully presented. Even Brock Lesnar coming down and saving Paul and giving him the beatdown, like, it's just amazing. And like the fact that I can say that about something involving these two, I'm gonna keep hammering the damn point on. It is crazy as hell to me. I saw a Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar sign up, and it was just like hyping up how much they like both of them. And I'm like, this is sick. I remember you didn't want nothing to do with these two fighting again.
It was like 3 years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
One word comes to mind. Bryan Danielson, help me out. Fickle. Oh, you fans. The universe, as they call them, we're very, very fickle. But that just shows you booking is important. Literally,
be honest,
the same people can be involved. But if you book them a certain way, you can make something that was shit turn to gold.
Right, because the roles are reversed now. If you remember, Brock Lesnar was going out there throwing everybody.
Killing everybody.
Around.
We were sick of it. Just like, here we go again.
Go away.
And then we thought it was going to be predictable. The only person who can survive all of this is Roman.
Yes.
And they hated that too. So, yeah. But that just shows you booking, presentation, all of that stuff is important because it literally can have two people that no one wanted to see a few years ago you know, be exactly what everyone wants to see going into 2022. So that's crazy.
Exactly. So next, just brief. I've been on TikTok too long. I was about to say pre-K pause, but we're adults here.
Oh Lord.
Brief yes. pause. We've been on Twitter. You saw this on Twitter, so we're gonna discuss it. Who did you hate more growing up? JBL, Edge, Triple H, or Randy Orton?
Yeah, and this is a good topic for all of my ruthless aggression kids / you know, if you want to say attitude era, but this is really a ruthless aggression type of question because they're asking basically, they mentioned Triple H, but I'm thinking about 2002 Reign of Terror, 2005 type Triple H, like that Triple H. Oh my God, I hated him so much. But Edge took the cake to me. When I was at the time, I'm be honest with you, I was a Cena mark. So not even just the slap in the daddy part. That was so disrespectful that it was funny. Even back then when I was a Cena fan, yeah. It was funny. It was just, you know, he was just a foil. And like what, I saw somebody put it in a tweet perfectly. Like, dude took Matt Hardy woman and slapped his man daddy. Not that long apart, by the way. And then he sent Matt, like Matt ended up on a whole another show after they had their fall, their blow off. And then he ended up, then I remember like I said, years later, he ended up being the reason why Undertaker was retired. I put air quotes, you guys can't see up, but retired. Undertaker. So like, and he screwed the Undertaker out the World Heavyweight Championship with that money, and he created this Money in the Bank spam. And I hated every second of it at the time.
Oh my God. So
Edge made me sick. So I definitely choose Edge. And I'll make my point about Randy Orton after you, because you are the motivation for making this a topic, because you, not only were you conflicted, but you don't agree with my opinion about Edge.
No.
I hated Edge.
I loved Edge. Every single moment of it, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I was on his side in the Matt Hardy situation.
How? He's having live sex with this man, live on time girlfriend.
Obviously, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do.
Oh, that's disrespect. This man was injured. He couldn't do nothing. Yeah, he hurt he tore his knee up. He couldn't do anything.
And I'll be honest, if I was Lita, I would have did the same thing.
No, you were attracted to that version of Edge. That does not mean
anyway.
You should just be an adulterer. Weren't married.
People,
but you know what
adulter
I mean.
For less.
They weren't married, so
people whatever. Adulter for less with less motivation. Less looks on the table.
I was about to say something that wasn't even their fault, though. I was like, do y'all gotta do this? Do y'all gotta just throw it in people's face after they got fired? That was Matt's fault. Matt brought it to the internet.
He did.
It wasn't their fault. It so wasn't, I was about to lie. But still, Edge, whoo, man, he was despicable.
I disagree.
That opportunist stuff, I understand it, but man, he just, oh my goodness.
He
was so disrespectful.
And I loved every moment of it. I was that person even at a
young age. You made an argument for JBL.
Listen, I was getting there. Okay. You cut me off. So it was a toss-up for me between JBL and Triple H because JBL at the time was, I hate Texas. Sorry, people in Texas.
What the fuck? Okay, go ahead.
But he was being like a brazen Texan out there chasing people at the border, the big old hat, the limo with the little horns on it.
He was rich too, though. Like he was also a Wall Street Texan. Like, capitalism.
Yeah, that's just Texas now. That's just all Texas now.
Yeah.
But like he was such a piece of crap. Like come on now. We don't have to do all that.
JBL never pissed me off that much. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I love the clothesline from here, which I do still to this day. Just his run, yeah, in 2004 when he first showed up and he was doing the border stuff. I can't not say that's not fucked up. Chasing people at the border for
exactly.
some reason. That was horrible. But he also was the guy who took Eddie Guerrero's WWE Championship. That pissed me off probably more than any other thing he ever did.
So he just had something against Latin people.
Ruined that reign. I mean, that was the angle. He was doing that against Eddie.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that was the angle. But, yeah, I understand. I don't know why, but JBL didn't really get to me. Randy Orton shouldn't be up here. He was nowhere near as hated as them. He literally DDT Stephanie McMahon on television, and I was not mad at Randy at all whatsoever. That's messed up. But he RKO'd Stacy Keibler, and I remember not really caring. Not saying that I didn't care, but it's just like – I don't hold it against him the same way I hold everything Edge did.
But, yeah, that's true. But
that's what I mean. But he also had the character of being like that. He was a distance to everybody. Like,
yeah, I think he got qualified because of the Legend Killer angle and, like, yeah, a lot of people's favorites. He spit in Mick Foley's
face with the thickest glob of spit I ever seen in my life. Oh, my God. And he also said, Randy might deserve it just based on his merit. I never got mad enough at him, but he has done enough to where it's like, because after when he told Batista after Eddie died, like, oh my God, that all just felt like WWE to me. I never blamed it because Randy hated it. I knew Randy hated saying it, but he was like, Eddie's in hell now, or whatever he said. And it's like, wow, like, on merit enough? Yeah, he may deserve it just based on all the stuff he's done over these years. You know, and it's like, it's light. Like, wasn't he just trying to end Edge's career not too long ago? And now we love him again.
Didn't he just stick his finger in Jeff Hardy's ear and try to separate his ear hole?
Yeah. Randy has the track record to belong with these guys. But for some reason, I never hated him like
that. That's how I feel
about
Edge.
I can understand it. From that perspective, I get it. But I don't know. I don't know what it is about Randy by comparison to Edge. Because Randy did some messed up stuff, like you said. But I don't know what it is. I don't know. I have no explanation why I like Randy.
It's because you think it's warranted because, like, he got snubbed by Triple H in the beginning. So that was the catalyst.
You know what? That might be that definitely is a catalyst because, again, back to Reign of Terror Triple H in 2004 when Randy Orton had the moment. A month later, he just had to get the belt back. So I guess that kind of game, especially for the Stephanie McMahon stuff, when Randy was going so far against the company, I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. He punted Vince. I think he punted Stephanie, all in succession. And then that's when Triple H pop up with the sledgehammer mad all of a sudden, trying to acknowledge that that's his family now. No, dog. Yeah, eventually Triple H wins because at the end of the day, he always wins. But, you know, and that's another thing, the Reign of Terror. Come on. What he did to Booker T, how can I defend that? This man pedigreed him and waited 30 damn minutes before he pinned him. And I just supposed to be cool with it. And Booker T just had to lay there because the match was over after this. Booker T had to act like he was dead, waiting on this man to pin him. That
Booker
was trash.
Booker T has endured a lot.
Booker T, man, you should be a whole lot bitterer. You need to be. Booker T should be like Bret Hart. And I'm not trying to say Bret is bitter in a bad way because I love Bret. Because Bret real. Bret still kills Hulk Hogan. They bring up Hulk Hogan randomly. He's like, he's a piece of crap. He didn't know a headlock from whatever he said. A headlock from something. He was just he's burying Hogan again. Keep burying Hogan. Iron Sheik, Bret Hart, keep doing what you're doing. Because I don't like how, because even when WWE reference Hogan now, I just be like, just stop. Don't give me any reference to him. By the way, Xavier Woods did a better leg drop on his last recent SmackDown than Hulk Hogan ever did in his entire career. All right, leaving that alone.
Yes.
Your choice is who, JBL or who, Hunter? Who did you settle down on?
I hated JBL.
So you gonna, all right? So yours is JBL. That's a fair answer.
Because listen, let me.
I'm gonna take Triple H over Edge because overall I did like Edge better than Reign of Terror Triple H.
I agree.
So, Reign of Terror Triple H is one of the. Oh my God, he wouldn't go away. And Katie Vick. That's all I gotta say about that. But let's.
But when I think back to Triple H, right? When I go back in time in my head, he was a piece of crap.
Oh my god, the worst.
But then at the same time, I've also got those memories of one the song because that was a good song and his interest was.
Oh,
just,
of course.
Just for
all his songs though, was like this
exactly. And then I go back to the DX time period.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I can forgive this a little bit better than I can forgive JBL for some reason.
I think what it is with Triple H is that Triple H was a good enough babyface too, to where it's like, all right, it's a little bit forgivable. Same thing with Edge. Edge is a good enough, great. He's an awesome babyface, so that's what makes him so good. He's awesome babyface, but he can be a piece of crap too. I think that's the thing they all got over JBL. Everybody else is a better babyface. JBL. Especially under the JBL moniker, not Bradshaw. When he's Bradshaw, I think that he's just a good babyface. He's just coming in to beat people down anyway when he was just Bradshaw. Mm-hmm. But JBL has no room whatsoever for babyface. You know what I'm saying? And that may win it all together if you look at everyone overall. But I just don't think JBL lasted long enough to really kill. He didn't get on my nerves on the level that Triple H. The Triple H would not go away.
That's fair.
But, yeah, it is what it is. I understand it. That was a great topic. I'm glad we did that. If I find other things like that that interest me, I will definitely bring it to the pod because not only did that bring me down memory lane, it's just I think we made good arguments all around.
Right. It also shows that because I don't think we get to talk about this enough, but me and you have been watching wrestling separately for a long time.
Yeah, way before we ever decided to do this. So
exactly.
Yeah, and I'm glad I get to hear that opinion. Like we definitely may have to come up with more scenarios like that all together. I already got one, like, not now, but I got a good one for the next show.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was thinking about it the other day, because someone said it. And all I will say is, not to tease that it will happen or will not happen soon, because I don't know. But I'm going to have to jot it down. But it's involving Shelton Benjamin. But we'll come back to that.
Don't talk about Shelty B.
My guy. I love Shelton.
All right, we're going to switch lanes to what was Winter Is Coming that was hyped up. I guess Winter Is Indeed Coming.
Winter Is Coming was hyped up, but they did a really good job. I was asking why are they calling it Winter Is Coming? The only thing they're promoting is Brian and Hangman.
There was a reason for that.
It was a major reason for the only reason why they were only thing they were promoting was that match. It's a reason for that.
I mean, get into it. Let's
You haven't already heard, it took up an hour of the show. And the feat of not only having the conditioning to just have an hour of a match in general or just a draw to that execution, like the way they did it, they went hard for a legit hour. Like it was part, like it was by the time they was like at the 50 something minute mark and I'm looking at them and I see them just gasping in between spots and I'm just like, yeah, that's conditioning. And not really gasping. Neither one of them looked exhausted or blew up. Like they look like they could go longer if they wanted to. And that just shows you the level that they're at. You know, that's a world championship match. That's world championship material stuff. It was just, it all felt like the most important thing in the world. And, and just to keep people, they kept those fans invested for an hour in like 2 minutes almost. That is sick. To keep people invested in what you're doing. I've watched people give up on an 8 minute match in the middle of a show. You know what I'm saying?
I've given up on matches.
I've watched NXT 2.0 a couple weeks ago and I was like, what the hell am I watching? And all the dude just had a wig on. I mean, Duke Hudson just had a wig on. And I still was just like, I can't watch this. And it's not that I felt bad. Like, I knew why he had the wig on. I watched him get his hair cut and all that. But the point I'm making is that I wanted to give up that at that instant.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were able to keep my attention, the thousands of people there, millions watching at home, attention for an hour. You know, and I saw some people saying if it's ends in a draw, it was kind of a wasted situation or whatever. But, you know, a lot of you guys, I can tell you guys may be classic WWE guys and all that, but a time limit draw can never be a waste, especially when it's 60 minutes. Somebody wrestled for me for 60 minutes. You think I'm going to be mad that it ended in a draw? No, mm-hmm. I'm going to understand that the story is they're evenly matched. And that means we're going to get this again.
And that means whoever wins in the end has to
will truly be the champion, too.
Exactly. No screwy finishes.
And they've only done like four of these in AEW's history, I think. They don't do this often. Like, that's another thing. Don't try to act like it's a draw every other 2 weeks or something. Like, draws are not often. Same thing with the ones in New Japan. They don't happen often.
They don't.
You know, that's the whole point of doing it. And I know it seems like it happens often because Danielson had another, but that was a 30-minute one. This was an hour. That's even more impressive.
What does that say about Kenny Omega?
That does not say Kenny can't go an hour because we know he can. Don't even start there, but you're right. That's how people are. That's how the internet is, though, right there.
Let me plant seeds of deceit.
That's exactly how the internet is, though. They're just like, Kenny couldn't go an hour. It was a non-title match, you idiot. It would have been an hour if it was for the belt. But yeah, this match was just a fun ride, man. It was an accomplishment by itself. You know what I'm saying? It was just way too good for TV. They mentioned this was a pay-per-view level match, and this was the one time I actually agreed with the announcers when they say that. I felt like after that match, I should have paid for it. So, and that's another thing. We just got an hour of great wrestling for free.
For free.
And you complaining. Why? What's the point?
Because you want to pay for it.
I guess so. I guess that must be the motivation.
I don't know. Capitalism is crazy.
I was impressed with Hangman, though, because I think I already know. We knew, or we can imagine that Danielson could do this.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But the fact that Hangman hung with him and just fit there and, like, just, he's one of the best. We know Danielson's one of the best in the world, but, and just, like, he's on a different plane of wrestler than a lot of his peers. Mm-hmm. But Hangman proved he deserves to be called champion. He also deserves to be on that level. Mm-hmm. Because that was impressive. And I don't know if there's anybody who was a bigger or better. Even, I love you, E. Even over Big E, probably. I don't know if anybody's a more natural babyface right now.
That's true.
He might be the biggest babyface in wrestling right now. And I love Shingo and Big E. But I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Like, can you make, like, take, are you going wrong either way? Put those three up there and tell me you're going wrong right now. Shingo's probably the least baby face out of them three.
Yes.
Yeah, because Shingo don't really care.
He doesn't.
But anyway, yeah, this was fun, man. You can't say anything bad about that.
All right, next up. So we got this weird little vignette. Since it's weird, then you know it's Malakai Black.
Yeah, I heard him talking cryptic, and I was like, I was in another room when the promo started, and I heard a couple of phrases, and I was like, this is Malakai. I walked out, no surprise, it was Malakai.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I immediately knew that. But who is his new partner, the guy he whispered that you're more than a king now? I already told you my original guess. I don't know. I'm assuming this is what the dirt sheets will say, too. They already have a relationship, so Brody King seemed like he'd be a great choice. But the guy looks shorter than Malakai, and I know Brody King is not shorter. And you're right. I think that's exactly what it's going to end up being no matter what. Because look at the options that I also wrote down. I wrote down Jeff Hardy. I wrote down Bray Wyatt. All of them people, just only thing they all got in common is tattoos.
That's fair. They do.
Those three different body shapes, heights, and everything. So I told you, I don't know who it is. But Brody King is the only one that'll make the King reference make sense. So, please, if it is Brody King, I will welcome it. Is, you know, his, you know, RH, I think, I don't know if they're no more. They may come back, but I'm pretty sure his contract with them is no more. Yes. So, he's right. Hey, he'll be great. I promise you. If you don't know anything about Brody King, you'll like him. And he will fit right in with the House of Black. They're both tattooed guys who whoop ass. So, I think it'll work fine just for that, literally that one part of it.
Let me say something out of pocket for a moment. I think, well, according to the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brody King is too attractive to be friends with Malakai Black.
Really? Now, Brody King has legions of women swooning for him.
They
love some Brody King. I've seen it. It's women. It's almost to hook levels. It's almost hook levels.
Right.
Of flirting when it comes to Brody King.
No offense to Malakai, right? But I just have not seen the same energy when it comes to him. And I think if these two are paired together, that he may get the back seat, even though he's the leader of this thing, just on looks alone. I mean,
are you fucking kidding me?
You see what they did to Hook. And
so you said you think Ricky looks better than Hook, but they're pushing Hook to the forefront.
Oh no,
because he's supposed to be attractive. Or are you saying the opposite? You saying just based on looks, he's gonna get pushed to the forefront of the real leader? That's what you're saying.
I mean, he's gonna be the bodyguard anyway, so he's gonna get some more screen time.
I mean, Brody's gonna probably eventually turn on him too.
In the eyes of the internet wrestling women's community.
Oh, so he's gonna take a back seat on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 100% yes. Probably. Yeah.
But I just wanna tell y'all that I don't agree with this assessment.
You don't think he's attractive?
I don't see it.
Yeah.
If you like I guess the same way that people say
so far it's been a certain type of
right. They said the same way people say Brock Lesnar right now is attractive is the same way I feel like they're looking at Brody King from this lumberjack point of view. And I haven't seen it. I just wanted to be out of pocket for a moment and put this in my perspective of how much I care about it. But I also suggested that it might be Christopher Daniels. I know he wanted to retire and all that.
I love that reference, by the way. The Fallen Angel. Hanging around with Black. I just don't think he would be much of a bump guy, really. I think that would be messed up. You just gonna trot the old man out here just to get his ass whooped every week? That's messed up. You might as well retire if he's just gonna come out. At least with Brody King, I know he's gonna kick some ass. You know. But
I wasn't ready for that one.
Yeah, that'd be messed up just how Daniel's out there bumping for you. Why? Malachi, you like 15 years younger than him.
Maybe younger than that.
Right, yeah, possibly even young, maybe less time or more. I don't know. But either way it goes. Yeah, I understand your point. Shout out to Brody King because I really fucks with him in the ring. So we'll see. I'm not really on the looks bandwagon thing, but you know, I did learn a thing. Big tattoo white guys. It's a market out there for y'all, man. It's a market out there. It's some women who swoon on sight.
How did you do that mental math? This is exactly 15 years.
Exactly 15 years?
Exactly
15 years. Come on, man. I got lucky.
Look at you.
I was about to brag. I was about to say, I'm a fucking genius. But no, I got lucky. That was just a off the top of my head type of thing. Yeah. What's next? Okay.
Next, we're talking about
the third installment in the Deeb Shida rivalry.
Saga.
I think it's over. But. Then again, didn't she get beat up after? Never mind. It might not be over because Deep jumped her again after.
I mean,
they are going to Orange Cassidy and Matt Hardy the hell out of this feud. I don't blame them because they have pretty good matches, man. I thought they performed strongly once again in this.
Wasn't this for the TBS title?
No, I don't think either one of them in the tournament no more. It's only four. It's only Jade and Thunder, and it's Nyla and Ruby.
So why haven't
That's
they?
It.
Why haven't they done those?
They're
two
putting
matches?
It off, I think.
I mean, I know we're waiting for January.
So next year, yeah, I think it's going to be in January or whatever, yeah.
But it's like two weeks left.
They're putting it off.
So you're going to do one? I don't care.
Or they're both? Yeah, I don't necessarily know. We'll see. We'll see. But either way it goes, yeah. No, this match had nothing to do with that. Just another, I don't know if I don't even know what the point of the match anymore because she already got the 50-1 win. So it's just because Deeb don't like Shida.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's some heat there, whatever. But I feel for them, though, because they was right after. They was the first match, the actual wrestling you got to see right after Danielson and Hangman.
Yeah.
So that sucked. I didn't like them in that position. But, it was kind of, it always sucks when you got to follow a match like that because the fans were kind of drained. But it wasn't bad. You know, I didn't think anything was wrong with this. But it does seem like they're going to be continuing it. So you might get Deeb and Shida 4 in some type of crazy death match stipulation. Probably not a death match, but. Most likely, Street Fighter or something. I wouldn't be surprised. She'd have used the kendo stick. She threw it perfectly, by the way, at the beginning of the match. Hit Serena perfectly. I don't think she was doing that on purpose. She was just throwing it at her, but she hit Serena perfectly. So that was the highlight of the match for me. But, what was next? The Dynamite Diamond? Is that what they call it?
Yep, that's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
I love the end. I'll just say that now. That was the best part of this. I'm joking. That's just
I knew you took pleasure in it.
But yeah. Whoop his behind.
Yeah, I mean, my overall thoughts on the match is just really Dante is only getting better, obviously, and I think he proves it every match. And MJF survives again, as always, you know. And, of course, Ricky's involvement makes all the sense in the world. And, you know, it was fine. You know, but everybody know at the end of the day, Winter is Coming was all about that great hour of wrestling that we got. So, shout out to those guys. But, yeah, I think this match, I think the show ended off, you know, as good as you would expect. And at some point, Ricky Starks versus Dante. Will they actually put an FTW title on the line for a change? Probably not.
Maybe.
Because it just seems like it's just a cute belt to have.
Maybe on Rampage. But, We need
possibly
something.
Look out for that
also,
on AEW Philly.
Where was Sammy?
Didn't he come out and stare down Cody? Isn't that what happened?
He just didn't jot anything down. Flipped them off.
He saved them on Rampage, and then he flipped them off, but they didn't show it. So it's like Sammy made sure he let you guys know what they didn't show, and then he posted a photo of him flipping off Cody to his face. For some reason, they didn't want to show that to us on television. They wanted to show us a video package. For the TBS title match that you were talking about. So they showed us that instead of the TBS title tournament qualifying match, I guess. I don't even know if it's still a qualifying.
Why would you put that at the end of your show?
Semi-final, I guess. I guess it would be semi-final.
Why would that be the thing you go dark on?
What, the promo?
Yeah.
It wasn't at the end. He did that, and then they came back and did the promo with Garcia and them. And that was the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that man.
The Tin Man was the end.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that kerfuffle at the end. Not the end of the match, but like just the timing of everything was, it seemed off. Max, what you doing?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell Max Castle be doing. House of Time.
Just roll out the ring, Max. You don't have to stand up.
Yeah.
Just leave.
Yeah, that's why he. That's why he raps, because you know it's not really about his work at this point. We'll see if it gets better. But yeah, you guys already know what I feel about Rampage. It was okay. It was, you know, the leadoff match was pretty good. I didn't mind tying Penelope, and even the end was okay. You know, there
was Dynamite or Rampage, the one with CM Punk in the T-shirt.
That's Dynamite. The end of Dynamite. He ran out. He ran out after the MLG. MLG. I was about to say MLG. MJF.
Whoa.
He ran out during the MJF match. I think the Pinnacle came out. Yeah. FTR at least.
Yeah, FTR.
And then they jumped Dante.
He
didn't come out until Darby came out first, I think. Yeah. Darby and Sting ran out first. Yeah, because they were jumping Dante. And then they cut off the lights, and that's when Sting and Darby popped up. And then when they started to get beat up, that's when Punk pops up.
With the bat. I forgot.
Because for some reason, Sting teleported without his bat. I don't know why he forgot his bat and his teleportation, but he did.
When did Darby get teleportation powers?
He's hanging out with the guy who, you know, it's not, you know, the guy who cut off lights wherever he goes. So
also can magically make snow. This is the one time they should have used a little snow effects, and they wasted it.
It's just proof that Sting has supernatural powers. And you're right. They did all that fake snow last year at Winter Is Coming. Or did they?
That was his whole debut slogan. Right?
That was the debut or whatever, huh? So, yeah. And they didn't even use the fake snow this week. I guess it don't travel. It was only in Florida. But shout out to Punk for wearing that shirt in the heart of Texas. I'm pretty sure some of those idiots had no clue what ovaries even looked like.
Zynga.
I'm pretty sure they, you know, didn't even get a chance to really read your shirt, because it seemed like AEW did not want everyone to get a clear focus on the shirt.
Because it's based in Florida.
But either way it goes, of course, CM Punk, being the voice for the voiceless, as he says, kind of.
I mean, women in have this a situation. Voice.
They definitely have a voice, but, you know, it's just his gimmick. I didn't mean to, I'm not dismissing their voice.
Sound like.
Look at where we live. Look at this. Look at this, y'all. Look at this. This is what I was telling her. Toxic femininity.
Oh,
it exists, people.
Anyway,
can't even talk
today. See, when you told me that, I thought you were talking about like those uber feminine women who were like dressed up like the 50s housewives that used to get abused.
Oh, they're
like,
probably a part of it. I mean, don't highlight their abuse. It did say that's toxic.
Well, the people
they
that
seem like they have a good point if they got beat.
The people that want to go back to
they do have a good point if they got beat. Oh, you said they want to go back to the 50s.
Yes.
Who? How can you be a feminist and
nobody they said, go back nobody to the said they were feminists. I said they were uber feminine.
Uber feminine. Got you. Okay, I misheard that word. I didn't hear that. I thought you said uber feminist who wants to go back to the 50s. No. That is hilarious right there. Yeah. Like just that phrase by itself. I'm not going to title this show that, but this I thought about it. An uber feminist who wants to go to.
Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to move on.
Yeah, let's please get out of this conversation.
Parts. Okay, so Wrestle Kingdom is going to be happening in the Tokyo Dome on two nights, January 4th, January 5th. We're going to go over the card because it's pretty much set in stone now.
Yeah, technically three nights, but, you know, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, we'll talk about New Japan briefly. Night 3, but that's on the 8th. That's a whole different, like, it's a whole
the next week.
Week apart.
Yeah, the next week.
They got a plan. Like, people have to take a vacation and stuff. Anyway.
I mean, they shouldn't. I'm damn sure glad they didn't do 3 days in a row of wrestling. I'd be pissed off coming in on the 6th. I'd be pissed off. Naito walking up pissed off. Like, what the hell? Just fought 2 days in a row. You want me to do another tag? All right, go ahead.
Okay. So the opening match on night 1 is going to be the New Japan Rambo Yeah. I don't know what that
big
is.
Big ass battle royale.
It's a final four.
That's what it is. It's just a big ass battle royale.
The final four will advance to the KOPW 2020 four-way match. We know yep. Yano's
just like last year. So Yano will definitely be there. That's the only thing I got for you. Yano will find another way to survive. Hopefully it's like last time, and by the time he get there, it's only like three spots. That was hilarious. It was three people just waiting in the ring. Yano didn't even get to the ring yet. He's just like, oh, well, I'm in the final four way.
Right, he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, I'm gone.
I'm in here. Cool. But yeah, Yano will definitely be there. And I think Kanemaru will be there also because he gave him a whiskey bath. But he might not be there because they're going to have an end of the year KOPW match, I'm assuming, on this Road to Tokyo Dome show. Yeah. So watch out for that, New Japan fans.
Then we have a special singles match. It's going to be Yo versus Show. Show, yep. You piece of crap.
Yep. Time again for Yo to get another shot at the turncoat who turned on him. Rocky Romero is a horrible manager, friend.
He's in the next match.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Horrible manager, friend, and confidant.
He didn't care.
He has not been there. He did not care about Roppongi 3K. He was too busy. Now he's too busy teaming up with Roppongi with Beretta and Roppongi Vice. That's the only thing he really cared. They only shared that name just to get them over at the beginning. Obviously now, because Rocky has, he literally, when Yo was struggling because his friend turned on him, and this dude said, yeah, I don't know what the hell going on with Yo. What the hell you think going on with Yo, Rocky? They came up together in the dojo, and the dude turned on him, and you wondering what the hell wrong with him.
They've been tagging for at least 3 years.
Like, God damn. All them junior titles meant nothing to Rocky, by the way. But anyway, this is going to be another good match because I think every time they fought, it's been nice,
beautiful,
fun, and passionate. You can just see how much they put into it. It's actually been one of the best executed stories in New Japan of the last year, in my opinion, which is Yo and Show. So I think they're going to do great on the fourth. And I also believe that I think Show is probably going to win this one. Just because of what happened in the Best of Super Junior. Yo got the better of him in the Best of Super Junior. And he got his cathartic moment. I don't necessarily know if he's going to get another cathartic moment at the Dome, even though Show deserves all of the ass whoopings he can get because he joined Evil of all people.
But the first, yeah, right. So, yeah. The first time they met up, Show came out victorious, and yeah. I was wanting Yo to win. Like, Yo should win so he can put this behind him. Because screw you, Show. Screw you. Because he's wearing snake skin. Like, oh, look at you snake in the grass.
Yeah, he's part of the worst part of the Bullet Club. So, yes. He's the dirtiest dirt bag you can think of.
The worst.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we've got a six-man Rocky Romero, Taguchi, and Tanahashi. Ooh.
So the mega coaches with Tanahashi.
Because Tanahashi is also a mega coach. We can just be honest.
Yeah.
Right? Versus the Bullet Club's El Fantasmo.
Oh, yeah.
Taiji Ishimori.
ELP and Taiji.
And Kenta.
Yeah. And Kenta and Tana will be fighting, I think, the next night.
Probably.
In a DQ, no DQ match. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, so this is all kind of like a little preview for what's coming when it comes to that. I don't really have a pick to win because these matches can go kind of either way. I'll say maybe Tanahashi's team will take the victory because I don't necessarily see Tanahashi walking out of Wrestle Kingdom with the belt. So I'll say to get him a win on the Wrestle Kingdom stage, his team should win this tag match, and then he'll probably lose to Kenta. I could be wrong. He's Tanahashi. He definitely can win.
I was about to say,
but
anything,
I
kind of
just spoiled my
anything could happen with Taguchi.
Of course.
On the team. Next up, we've got LIJ's Bushi, Sonata, and Naito versus William Ospreay, the Great Okan, and Jeff Cobb.
Jeff Cobb. Yep, Will Ospreay. I think I'm going with the United Empire side, mostly because of Ospreay's involvement. And, you know, as much as I love Bushi, I could definitely see him getting pinned. This is Ospreay's first return to Japan in a while, too. So I don't see him losing this match. And then he has a big world title match the next night against, you know, whoever wins out of Shingo and Okada. So I don't see him losing.
All right, next up, we've got Shibata versus unknown opponent.
I have not even an inkling of knowledge on who he's fighting. They haven't even teased it. I would Kenta's fighting that night. I would hope it would be Kenta, but it's not because he's fighting already. Maybe they double booked him, but I doubt it. So we'll see. It all depends on who he's fighting. But Shibata is no way he loses his comeback match. I don't care who it is.
I don't care
who you find it. If he loses his comeback match, you're out of your mind, New Japan. Why would you do that? So yeah, Shibata's gonna come back. He's probably gonna have. It's gonna be hard hitting. I doubt he'll pull punches.
Suzuki?
Because he's. Possibly. I would like that if it is Suzuki. But Shibata basically promised us that he wouldn't be pursuing this if he didn't know his own body and trust that he would be fine. So I'm just going to watch it as a fan and enjoy it. I won't worry about him. He wants us to stop worrying. So stop worrying out there if you love Shibata. You know, he's going to be fine.
Right,
so.
And I feel terrible about this. But when did Ishii become the never open weight
champion? He beat Jay White at their most recent before last night, because I think they have on the show.
Where is Jay White? What's going on?
Lost it in America. Jay has been fighting in America. He's been promoting strong and stuff, but he's been in America, kind of like he's been on the same thing Will Ospreay's been on. I want to say he traveled home and couldn't come back at one point, and that's the explained absence. And he's only been going to America because you're still allowed to travel there. I'm assuming that's my explanation. I have no clue. He's been doing interviews and all types of stuff, so I'm pretty sure he has an actual explanation. So go find those if you want to know. But, yeah. All right.
Anyway.
He's nowhere to be found in these card, though, and that sucks. Now, is he the one Shibata's coming back to face? I doubt it. But, you know, it would be nice to see the Switchblade back in New Japan.
Right.
But, yeah, Ishii is the never open weight champion.
Yep, so it's going to be Ishii versus Evil for the never open weight championship. Screw you, Evil.
Yeah, and I'm fearful that the Turncoat and Dick Togo will find a way. I really hope that Ishii wins. I think everyone who loves anything about New Japan are rooting against Evil at every cost. No matter what Evil is doing, we're rooting against them. So, yes, I'm rooting for Ishii, but part of me, don't know. It's the first defense of this newest run, so I'm going to pick Ishii with all of my chest. I'm hoping he wins, and I think he will. But, man, do they love to mess with us and just – we all know it's just really one Dick Togo interference away, and then everything is Evil from having a new champion.
After a groin punch.
Yeah, exactly, because Evil's definitely – we know he's going to cheat. It's just will the babyface get out of it or will he not? That's pretty much the story.
Why don't we wear athletic cups when we face Evil now? Like, you know everyone he's going
to
go for it.
Everyone should, and everyone should bring someone with them to stop Togo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
he cannot though because his buddies Yoshihashi and Goto will be challenging
Dangerous Techers
in the next match for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Titles.
So I see what they did there. So he probably won't have him.
He will not have him
because Okada's fighting later. So
yes.
Yeah, he probably won't have him at all, unfortunately. But yeah, okay, we'll call Robbie. Is he available? Somebody help Ishii. In the next match, I'm really, really iffy, man. I don't really know. This is actually a tough one for me because they just won Tag League, and I think I would like Yoshihashi to get this victory because, you know, the tag team division have been kind of leaning on G.O.D. and Dangerous Techers for a little while now. But Dangerous Techers are great, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You can't go wrong with it.
I mean, and it's Yoshihashi's act. Come on now.
Yeah, they usually wouldn't lose this match, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'm expecting a good match, though.
And, Yoshihashi has pulled through some matches he should have never won.
Yeah, so I'll be rooting for Dangerous Techers just because I like them better, but I'm going to go ahead and go on the limb and say Goto and Yoshihashi will be your new tag team champions because, you know, why not? Why not, you know, do a nice dramatic title change on Wrestle Kingdom?
So we're just going to strip all of the titles away from Suzuki-gun. Because next up, we've got Hiromu Takahashi versus El Desperado for the IWGP.
You are really presuming.
Oh.
Despy proved himself a few Best of Super Juniors ago.
Hiromu's
he
got
proved
this.
That he can hang with Hiromu,
Hiromu's
man.
Hiromu's got this in the bag. You saw those shorts?
I did see those shorts. I don't know, man. I love Despy, though. So I don't necessarily think Despy should just lose his belt because it's Hiromu. But who am I kidding? We all can kind of see the writings on the wall. They've been trying to do this for 2 years now to just, you know, hand over the reins of the division to Hiromu. They've been trying to do that technically for a few years. He just got bad luck.
He keeps
hurt. We mentioned he win Best of Super Junior twice now, and he something happens and it just ruins it. Yep. So hopefully, barring any catastrophic BS, we finally get the run of a lifetime from Hiromu. So yeah, I'm down with that.
Also because I never bet against Hiromu. Where's Daryl? I hadn't seen Daryl in a while. Bring Daryl
back. I've seen like three or four different ones, but he doesn't. I haven't seen him carrying it. He's been doing this sign thing. He's been having signs and photos over Best of Super Junior. So, yeah. And I don't read Japanese, so I don't necessarily know what he's saying under his captions on these photos. But yeah. Daryl. I haven't seen Daryl in a while.
We'll figure it out. Anyway, last match of the
night. He might pop up at WrestleKingdom. This will be night. Who knows?
Last match of the night, we've got the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. Shingo Takagi versus Kazuchika Okada.
I love Shingo Takagi as world champion. He deserved the MVP of New Japan, as he deserves to be on everyone's top 5 to 10 list of wrestlers of the year. He is just... he's been on another level, and that is the thing that really makes me want to root for him and hope that he would find a way to pull this out over Okada. But I just – part of me just – it's just hard to ever bet against him. And this would be like, what, 2 Wrestle Kingdoms in a row that he would lose on the first night?
Yeah.
And then not have anything – well, not that he wouldn't have anything to do, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Not have a – he wouldn't. He'd be out, right?
He'd be out.
Wouldn't he have anything to do the next night? So this would be the second time in a row. And it's just hard for me to believe that the ace, and I know he's not called
he
is basically the current ace or basically the top guy in their company. This will be 2 years or what, 3 years now?
3 years that he lost.
He would lose. And I understand he won a lot, so these losses don't really hurt him. But it would be crazy. No, I think he – did he beat Ospreay last year? No.
But wasn't last year the year where Kota won?
Kota definitely won. Either way it go, he didn't leave as champion. But I know he fought Ospreay. I just don't remember the context behind it. Maybe I'm losing my mind. Time is all running together, man.
No, because last year Kota didn't win, or did he?
No, Kota left that. He just fought Naito. And you remember, Naito was the champion going in, I think, if I remember.
So.
And he fought.
Naito
joined the belt the night before, and then they fought for both of them. The next night, if I remember it right, he won both belts the first night. Then the next night, it was Kota versus him for both of them because he handed over the belts.
But that don't make sense because later that year,
what's talking about?
Okay,
this year's January.
Okay,
think about way back to January. I know it seems like forever ago.
No. I'm screwing up. 2020 messing up. Okay, this year is 2021.
Yes.
So 2020 is when Evil turncoded and all of that stuff.
Yes, that's when he originally turned. He was already turned this year because he lost to Sonata at this year's WrestleKingdom.
Yes, okay. I messed up. My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, if he loses, this would indeed be the third year in January when he loses.
Yeah, or something. Either way it go, Okada, I just don't see Okada not winning. That was my overall point. If I'm wrong about the details, Okada not winning or not getting to the match against Ospreay, I'll be really, really surprised. I love Shingo, and I wish Shingo could survive his champion somehow. But it's just I don't necessarily see it.
Because Shingo won the tournament that, you know, happened after Ospreay got injured.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to see that Shingo versus Ospreay to duke it out for the real championship. But like you said,
part of me can see that still happen, but it's just so hard to believe Okada's just going to get shafted again, kind of.
Yeah.
That's the thing that'd be hard to believe.
Where does this leave Okada?
Yeah, like what does he do after now you telling me this means we're gonna get some like a change in Okada over this, then yeah, I can see him getting shafted.
I don't know. We've seen what happened.
He just became the Rainmaker again, really.
He just started
this again.
He did.
So
at the G1 Climax.
It's hard to bet against the Rainmaker. All these other versions of Okada you can bet against. But
yeah,
when
he's
doing the Rainmaker, it's hard.
The balloon Okada was my least favorite Okada.
That was his too. He was losing a lot.
Okay, next up, we've got Wrestle Kingdom Night number 2, January 5th. First match, we've got an IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team, Junior Heavyweight, I'm sorry, Tag Team Championship 3-way, mm-hmm. Triple Threat match, Tiger
Mega
Mask
Coaches
and Robbie Eagles versus the Mega Coaches versus ELP and Taiji Ishimori.
I believe either only two things is possible to happen. We have the retaining of those titles from Tiger Mask and Eagles, or we have new champions, which are the Mega Coaches, so Taguchi can finally be the 69th junior tag team champ. He's obsessed with the number 69. If you know anything about Taguchi, he's disgusting older man. He's a disgusting
typical
guy. But he's also great, and he's I don't know if he's the creator of the hip attack, but he might as well be. You would not have the rear view Naomi's finisher if it wasn't for Taguchi. That's what I got to say about that. So either we're going to get the Mega Coaches winning because so Taguchi can finally get that 69th, be the 69th champion, which he don't have to do this tonight. That's why I say they might just retain it. I don't see the Bullet Club winning. They've been down that road with these same belts. And, they literally, I think, are the former champions, I think, or at least two reigns removed or something. So, yeah, I don't necessarily see them going back there. I can definitely see the Mega Coaches win. Fatal 4-Way, we can't predict. Yano, though, is a safe bet, so.
You get off my screen, my guy. Next, we got the Stardom match, Stardom special match.
I can't predict that either. That's kind of why I skipped it. But go ahead.
Let me at least attempt to just say their names.
Yeah, try to say them. Give them the credit for being on the card. Starlight
Kid.
Cool.
Mayu Iwatani.
Okay.
Tam Nakano. And Saya Kamitani.
Unfortunately, I do not watch Stardom. I have already been told that I need to watch it. So if you love Stardom out there, I already know. Very, very excited that they're on the card. I love that they're actually here. They kind of been slowly getting here because I remember, I don't know if it was Wrestle Kingdom or whatever show it was, but they had a couple pre-show matches.
Yep, they were doing dark matches for a couple
I think
years.
It was that other show in the Dome, not even just the first Dome, not even just January. You know, they did another Dome show this year, and they were a pre-show on that one.
Yeah, they were on Tokyo Dome and that one.
They've been doing this a little while, and it's cool that they're finally on the actual card to kind of showcase what Stardom can do. Because I think if you don't know, now you know. And you should know because, a lot of your favorite Joshi wrestlers not only have experience not only with people in Stardom, but, some of them are, Stardom greats of the past, so. Stardom is a great haven for Joshi wrestling, and I think it's cool that they get a chance to showcase that at basically the biggest show in Japanese wrestling. So, yeah.
Exactly. Next up, we've got a Never Six-Man Tag Championship match. Yoshihashi, Goto versus Sho, Yujiro, and Evil. So it makes sense that Yo is here. I'm just happy to see him.
Yeah, Yo wants to take Sho's title, yes.
Take him out.
Take that title.
Ruin his life.
Unfortunately, once again, especially if Evil loses the Never Open Weight title, I don't see him loses that title match the day before. I definitely don't see him see those guys losing these tag titles against Chaos. But, yeah, I don't see it.
Even though these titles have
a history, that too. Exactly. If the babyfaces go over in the world tag team title match, I don't necessarily see them winning those belts back in this one. So, that's another one of those former champion things too, because they were Goto and Yoshihashi were just the six-man champion.
Yeah, with Ishii.
Before they lost. I know it's with Ishii, and that would make it a little different, but not much different, right? It's still Chaos and Bullet Club, basically. So, I'm gonna say the torch. I have to call them the Torture Chamber again.
Yeah, you really like that name.
I like that name better than the House of Torture, apparently. House of Torture. But yeah, the House of Torture. I don't see them losing it.
I dislike them. So I root against them. They're probably gonna win, but I don't care. So
oh my goodness, I might do it again. This is cool. Go ahead.
All right. Next up, we've got Sonata versus Great O'Khan.
This is a tough one to pick because Sonata can win this one, but will he beat O'Khan? O'Khan won best technique, and Zack Sabre Jr. was offended, as he should be, even though I love O'Khan. More technical than Zack?
That's why Sonata has to face him.
Yeah.
Sonata's been fighting Zack.
Of course. Yeah. I'm going to say it this way. These two matches are mutually exclusive. Go ahead and say the next match.
Naito versus Jeff Cobb.
So I think these two matches are mutually exclusive.
Inclusive?
Or inclusive. So maybe I'm saying it wrong. You know what I mean?
They're paired together, or you can view them separately?
They're together.
Okay, so inclusive.
So I mean inclusive. Sorry. So inclusive. They're mutually inclusive. Because whatever happens in the first one, I think it will have an effect on what happens in the second. I don't see no point. It's hard for me to see Naito losing at Wrestle Kingdom, but if he was going to lose to a person, he can lose to Jeff Cobb. If he's going to lose to a person, it would be a Jeff Cobb.
He said that man. But if that's the case, Michael Elgin.
He was messing with him.
He got to lose. But
even if that is the case, I don't see. I don't want. Let me say it this way. Now, neither do I want or do I see the United Empire both losing these matches. Either way, I don't want either side to lose both matches. So that's kind of where I'm standing on that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think either way it goes. I think if Sonata wins, then look for Jeff Cobb. If Jeff Cobb loses, then I'm sure Okan won. Right? You see what I'm saying? That's the way I see it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they shouldn't have anything to do with each other at all. I'm expecting two good matches, especially Naito and Jeff Cobb can low key steal the show. They can do it.
They can.
Given the chance. So, but all right.
Seventh match of the night. We've got the IWGP Universe.
So I almost did it.
IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship No DQ match.
No DQ, yeah.
Tanahashi versus Kenta.
The rematch. I think Kenta will win. I think he's not only a better fit for the United States title, I just think he wants it. I wouldn't be surprised, though. It's Tanahashi, again, like I mentioned earlier. So don't ever be surprised if he win on the card. You know, at Wrestle Kingdom, too. Big moment. The Dome. Of course, Tanahashi, right? But in this spot, I'm going with Kenta.
I just want wrestlers to stop talking to each other about what they're going to do when they win a title or if they lose a title match. Because when Tanahashi won, he told Lance Archer that the next time he comes to the United States, Lance going to get the first shot at the title again. That ain't happen. Then Kenta won, and he told, why they out here lying in the English speakers, first of all? He told Chase that, my first defense is going to be you, my guy. That ain't happen.
Well, Chase just messed around and lost to Tanahashi twice.
But he didn't know. Chase didn't get the chance because Kenta went first, if you remember.
I know, but what I'm saying, since then, he has lost to Tanahashi. That's why he didn't get his tag league. He lost to Tanahashi twice.
That don't got nothing to do with what Kenta promised.
I'm telling you, that's the explanation. That's a Bullet Club problem. That ain't a New Japan problem.
That's garbage.
That is a Bullet Club problem. That is not a New Japan problem.
Lying about title defenses.
That is not a New Japan problem. Okay, so I was talking about it earlier. We had an hour and 18. I thought I was going to have three straight pods. That's an hour and 16 minutes. But I've broken that record here.
I talk too much. Last match.
I'm not saying that. I was just saying in general. I thought I was like, wow, I might mess around and do that unintentionally.
So that's what you're talking about. That might be your new normal?
Yeah. No, it's not going to be my new normal. I built this. This show became an hour of building content. If you look at my notes, there's no way this show should be this long. Because it's nowhere near as long as my notes from last week.
Yeah, those notes were not even one page.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like anyway. Half a page. So who did you pick? You said you can't count out Tanahashi.
Yeah, I'm going with Kenta winning. Kenta's going to win, in my opinion, but I just don't. Like I said, it's Wrestle Kingdom, it's New Japan. Tanahashi definitely is always a good pick. Always a good pick, but Kenta's going to win.
Fair enough. Last match of the night, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. Whoever wins from night one versus William Peter Charles Ospreay.
I feel like this is even though we don't know who's going to be in it, either way it go, Ospreay loses.
Yes, so, he got it.
Whether it's Okada, Ospreay loses. If Shingo survives, Ospreay loses. I don't see it where he ends up being the guy that stands tall at the end of two nights. I think it would be Shingo or Okada, either way.
You You cannot foresee that outcome.
No, I can't see it. Can't see it. Can't foresee it at all. All
right. Well, that's reasonable. Not even going to challenge that one. All right. That's it for New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom. Now, the January 8th show is just New Japan versus Noah. You were kind of discussing how you don't necessarily like this because it's not like Survivor Series type matches where it's literally one entity versus the other entity. They make it so that nobody looks bad or nobody's champions look better than the other, which I understand if you have your own brand and interest to represent.
It's more of a showcase.
Yeah.
A showcase of basically like, this is two of the best companies of Japanese wrestling in the world. So, male Japanese wrestling in the world. So, here you go. Look at these guys. Right. Exactly. That's basically what it is. And it's not that I don't like it. I think it's great, and I definitely like it for Japanese fans and people who are fans of both promotions and all that. I think it's cool either way because it's just dope to see companies doing this. But I do say that this is one of those faulty little downsides to the forbidden door that everyone likes talking about. Everyone loves bragging about, oh, so much all these possibilities. Everyone loves the forbidden door and woo-doo-woo-doo-woo. Well, this is one of the downsides. A lot of times these super shows can turn into, let's just protect this guy and let's protect our guys because we don't necessarily trust the other promotion to not book their guys over our guys or whatever the situation is. So, you know, that's just one of those things that you're going to have to deal with when you're dealing with two different promotions. Their investment is just as important to them. If they got a world champion who's been undefeated on Noah, they do not want that guy to come lose, even in a tag match where he don't get pinned. They probably wouldn't want him to lose to a certain guy from New Japan.
Exactly.
You know, so it makes sense. But that's just one of the downsides that I want to highlight. I have no problem with it. I'm excited about it. I think it'll be cool. I can't wait to see Keiji Muto out there and Mero Fuji. Keiji Muto going to be in the same ring with Okada and Tana. Like, come on, man. I love Muta. Give me all the Muta you can give me. That's enough, though. I don't really got nothing else to say. I've spent an hour and 20 minutes, almost an hour and a half talking to you guys. Thank you once again for sitting here listening. If you make it to this point in the show, you fuck with me. And I liked it. I really do. I fuck with you, too. Whoever you are out there, you know. Don't walk up on me in public out of nowhere, though. Like
they
that.
Don't fuck with you
that
face.
Much. Don't fuck with you that much. Exactly. It's a reason for that.
But that's going to change. Really.
They could. Yeah, they will change. If you actually follow me on Twitter, you can see my face all the time going to Twitter. That's about as close as you getting.
No, it's not.
What?
Stop being dramatic.
All right, I'm playing around with y'all. Anyway, I appreciate you for listening. And, you know, thank you guys once again for another experience. And, yeah, this has been the latest edition of the Mind of Months podcast. Brought to you by no one. Sponsors, give me a call. Adios, people. Adios.
Adios.